Glory to God. I've come with some very special people. Deacon Ogwinka, who also runs a band called Eagle Band International. They play in so many parts of the world. Hallelujah. Awesome. Please help me celebrate him. We appreciate you. And of course, Brother Dayo Folowo Shele and Sister Ibukun, who is about to get married soon. So if you are a man and you are looking for a wife, she's off. She's Hallelujah. Glory to God. I bring you greetings from my sweetheart, my sugar pie, my hot pie. Hallelujah. My sweet pie. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's lift our hands and let's say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For your goodness and your mercy, we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for loving us all the time.
You are worthy, Lord. Worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Glory. We give you glory, Lord. Glory. We give you glory, Lord. Say worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Somebody say worthy.
Feel that destiny that you destined us to be when you placed us in our mother's womb. Lord, we want to do extraordinary things by your power and by your grace. We want the whole world to know that we are called by you. At the end of this conference, let there be strength, light, wisdom flowing through everyone that has participated in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us go forth to indeed change our world for good in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. The few words that I speak this morning, let it bring forth fruit. Let it glorify your name. Let it have great impact. Let it multiply, multiply in results in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you love the Lord this morning, put your hands together for him and give a shout.
God bless you. You may be seated. The ultimate leadership attribute. The ultimate leadership attribute. Now, when we look at excellent leaders, when we look at successful leaders, we find a lot of attributes. We find a lot of qualities. Somebody may say, well, you know, this person is an excellent leader because he's got wisdom. Another person may say, I feel this person is outstanding because the person has courage. You may think of values like, you know, fairness. Say the person, you know, is a visionary. Say this person is passionate or is very dedicated. Sometimes we say, oh, you know what? The quality that is really needed is diligence. And we say pragmatism. Now, all these qualities are important. And they are qualities that a leader should have. Attributes that we should find in a leader. But the ultimate leadership attribute is love. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus Christ said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. If you have what? Love. Not if you have money. Come on now. He says, The reason people will know that you are mine and you are following me, which makes you a leader if you're following Christ, he said the one thing that once they see that quality, they know that definitely you are mine. He says that is what? When you have love for one another. Now, I want you to know that we can be different kind of leaders. And as a leader, you can be described as different things. I believe we're all leaders. All the leaders shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, we are all leaders. Praise the Lord. In fact, you are not just a leader, but you are what? You are a leader of leaders. Because as the Lord blesses you, you will continue to rise. Amen. You continue to rise. So not only are you a leader, leaders will begin to rise under you in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now, those who lead with love are the ones who lead forever. There are so many ways that people can describe a leader. Somebody says, oh, this leader is very tough. Isn't it? How do I say, oh, this leader is very generous. Praise the Lord. There's so many ways leaders can be described. But you know one thing I'm going to tell you as a human being? You should always think about what they're going to write on your tombstone when you have gone. I'm sure you don't want people to write, here lieth our boss. Come on now. And the only thing they can just think about is like, oh my, this guy, you know, just bosses everybody around. Our boss. What are they going to write? That you're a very loving, compassionate person who changed the world, who changed so many people's lives. You know, when you look at Mother Teresa today, what do we remember her for? Her love, her selflessness. Complete and absolute in her love. Many times we think that, you know, people will respect us when we have a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with having money if you're using it for the right things. But you know, ultimately, I found out one thing about money. It just gives you rented applause. Hello? Money just gives you rented applause. Why did I say it's rented? Wait until you don't have that money again. Eh? The people who will clap, who will shout, hey, and respect and invite. When you are somewhere, they cannot sit down. You understand what I'm saying? Wait until that money is gone. The same people who gave all that applause, they just disappear. To prove it to you, how many of you, I don't know how many of you have sometimes traveled with ministers in this country. I'm not talking about preachers now. I'm talking about, you know, official government ministers, you know, or government dignitaries. While they are in power and when they are no longer in power. You know the ones who led with love and the ones who just led. The ones who are tyrants. You know, it's not when they are there that you know. Wait until they leave. There was one person who held a very important position. When she's coming, you see people running and all that. When she left that office, you know, the people who would, you know, run around and all that. She's passing like this. People won't even greet her. So what did she have before? A rented applause. and rented applause will never last. Okay? So I want to challenge us this morning to be leaders who lead with love. A leader who leads without love leads with loss. A leader who leads without love is going to end up leading with what? With deficit, with loss, with decrease. But a leader that leads with love will continue to increase and enlarge. Now, three keys to leading with love. Because when you use these keys, looking at love, when you use it, it will lead to promotion. And if you do not use it, it's going to lead to termination. You know? The first thing to note about love is that love gives. Love gives. So as a leader, you have to be what? You have to be a giver. Love gives. If you see someone who is saying, no, I'm a great leader, but the person does not give. Maybe that person is still working on the leadership. Now, you know, God showed me something about the rich man. How many of you remember the story of the rich man whose barns brought forth plentifully? Huh? Now, the Bible says, it's in Luke chapter 12. The Bible says that when his farm brought forth plentifully, he now said to himself, you can look at Luke chapter 12. Yes, thank you. Oh, Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 17. Yes. So he said, look, he spoke a parable to them saying the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Okay? And then he now said to himself, what will I do? Because I have no room wherein to bestow my fruits. So what did he decide? He was going to say, I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to pull down the ones I had before. And I'm going to say to my soul, take your ease, eat, drink, because you have so many things laid up for many years. Do you know every time I'd read that thing without seeing something deeper until God showed me something? You know, if somebody is rich, he will never be the one to go to the farm to go and till his land. Is he not so? He's only a poor farmer that tills his own land. A rich farmer will never till his own land. Who does he have tilling the land? His laborers. Not once did this man mention the laborers that had labored on that field, that worked in planting, that even worked in harvesting. All he was thinking about was what? Me, myself, I. End of story. And what did God say to him? God said to him, you're a fool. Tonight, your soul is going to... I said, whose will those things now be? So you see, God brought the elements of people. A good leader always remembers the people. Always remembers to give. We must understand that it's not about us. Praise the Lord. It's about how many lives we can impact for Jesus. So I said three keys. Leading with love. Understand first of all that love gives. You can't keep everything to yourself. The more you keep to yourself, the more you're going to lose. In fact, let me tell you the way money works. Money is what? Other name we call money. We call it what? Currency. It is a current that must flow. The only way you can have more money is by giving out some of the money you already have. Hello? You know they say that if you want to give something to somebody, you do not give with what? With a tight fist. How do you give? Open hands. And when you open, as you are giving, then with your open arm, something too is placed in your hands. So love does what? Love gives. Number two, love forgives. Love forgives. It is impossible to lead without forgiveness. It is impossible. You cannot lead people if you will not forgive. People will make mistakes. People will make mistakes. They are human beings. How many of you will admit you have made mistakes before? I will be number one to say I've made mistakes. Possibly if I think through today, maybe I've even already made a mistake today. Hello, somebody. And I found out that we judge ourselves by our intent, but we judge other people by their actions. And that's why we're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because if we were to put ourselves in the same situation, it's a different way we're going to judge the matter. Let me give you an example. You remember when David had sinned with Bathsheba and killed her husband? And then God sent the prophet to him. He said, go and tell him the story of how there was one poor man that had just one small lamp. And the lamb, he loved the lamb so much, the lamb would sleep on his bed right beside him. He said, then there was a rich man living beside him. And then this rich man had a visitor.
And when he had the visitor with all the things that the rich man wanted, he was not willing to offer his visitor his own goat or his own cow or anything. He said, he now got this other poor man's ewe lamb and killed this and gave it to his visitor. What did David say? He said, who is the man? Today he would die. And the prophet said, you are the man. Did David immediately say, kill me now, I am the man? Is that what he said? By the time the prophet told him, he said, I have sinned. God forgive me. God forgive me. So this, see, the punishment he was willing to give somebody else, when he realized it was himself, it was the difference of it is, I am sorry. You know, sometimes when we see people who are doing wrong and we feel like criticizing them, let's remember, there go I, but for the grace of God. Are you listening to me? You can make mistakes, other people too. I mean, I'm not saying don't correct people. We have to correct people. It's part of leadership. But we must not judge. Bible says, judge not, so that you also will what? Will not be judged. And the Bible even says, if a man is overtaken in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of weakness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Meaning that, that thing you are criticizing somebody else for, guess what? He's very near your door. He's very near your door. He's about to knock. About to knock. I have a friend who told me, you know, when he was still a very young minister, and he would look at all these big men of God, and he would criticize. He said, when success came, he said, everything he had criticized, he found himself doing. I thank God for those of us who have not done everything that, you understand, that we have seen those who have gone ahead of us do. But maybe it's because we didn't criticize as much. Somebody say, hallelujah, glory! Love does what? Love does what? Forgives. Forgives. Be like the father of the prodigal. Be like the father of the prodigal. Huh? Do you know this boy? When you even look at, very naughty boy. Still a young boy. House comes to meet the father and say, Father, look, the goods that pertain to me, I can't wait for you to die. We waited. You have refused to die. How many of you have parents who are above 80? They have refused to die. They are 90. They have refused to die. Hello, somebody. Then they reach that 95 like this. Baba, you not go. Because you know whatever riches they are even going to leave for you. At the end of the day, you yourself, you've already worked. You've already gathered your own. By the time they are 95, all things being equal. If they marry, no, talk to me. If the father or your mother married at 25, by the time they are 95, how old are you? Maybe 70. Or very near 70. So how much meat can you chop at very near 70? So I think this boy just calculated. This way I see this man strong like this. This man no go die quick. I can't wait for him. Divide the goods for me. Let me take my portion. They're just two of us brothers. And the interesting thing is the father did not argue. He said, okay, you want half? I give you half. And the Bible says he took the half and went. Of course, because he was not matured enough, he wasted his living. Wasted all that money. Finally, he came to himself. Listen carefully to the story. He said, wait a minute. I've reached the point where I'm feeding pigs. Not only that, I want to share the food of the pigs, and they are pushing me away. Human beings are telling me I can't even share the food of pigs. You know, some of you say things are bad in Nigeria. Not so bad yet. Not so bad. And it will never be that bad in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you know, in that place, that boy, when he said there arose a famine, the famine was so grievous. So that's what brought him to that condition. He wanted to share food with pigs. They said, you can. No way. You are not even worthy to take the food of pigs. Kai, see suffering. Then he came to himself and said, okay, I will go back to my father. I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. Okay? I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. So he started going. And as soon as he got near the house, the Bible says the father looked up and saw him. That tells me one thing. The father was always expecting him to come back. The father was always expecting him to come back. And the Bible says when the father saw him from afar off, the father did not wait. He ran towards him and he grabbed him. Hallelujah. And embraced him. And then, listen to something that I'd never seen in the Bible before. Then the boy begins to talk. And he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Go and check the story very well in the Bible. That's where the father stopped him. The father did not allow him to say, make me as one of your hired servants. Immediately, as soon as I said, I'm no longer worthy, he made the father say, no. Come on, bring the robe for him. Come on, go and kill the father. He made the father call the servants and let him know, in this home, you are still a son. And there are servants and they will serve you. That's leadership. Forgiveness. The father could have thought, half is already gone. He has come back now. Is it to come and collect the other half? You know, as parents, we need to be compassionate towards these young ones. Some of us are too quick to judge them. What they are struggling with today is not what you struggled with when you were young. You never had cell phones when you were young. Television. You. How many of you had television when you were young? Let me tell you, when we were young, my father happened to be a lawyer. He was the first person to get a master's in law in the city of Ibadan. Okay? So, he had the money. I remember when I was growing up, yeah, that first we had black and white. You know the black and white that when you put on, the thing will first warm. Come on now. The thing will first warm, isn't it? Then gradually the picture begins to appear. Eh? And even when the picture fully appears, you can still see the pigments. It's not complete sharp black and white, oh. Not complete sharp black and white. Ah, no way. TV, Karababa, Shatale, Kereba. We were big people. And one day, after using the television, and you know those televisions, after a while, they start acting funny. There are times they are not showing, you have to bang them. Bah! Bah! Isn't this so? And then, it gets back to his senses. When you lay hands on it with a good slap, hallelujah. It starts showing. Then one day, the television got tired. Because the whole neighborhood will come and watch it. I think he just said, today 100 people, tomorrow 3, 2. I beg, I don't tire. The thing just blew up when we were all sitting. We're like, thank God for whatever reason. The people who would normally, little children who would come fill all our sitting room. Do you know that day, there was not one of them that was sitting in front of that television. It was just the family and we were sitting on a chair. And for whatever, my dad was always saying, you know, don't move too near the television. Don't move. It was as if, you know, he knew one day something would happen. The thing just blew up. Thank God nobody was injured. So they unplugged it. We didn't know it was promotion. The next day, he just brought color TV. In those days, color TV. Hey, come and see crowd. Even we were dancing, color TV, color. But you know, even with the color TV, the television station start at a particular time. What time did they used to start at that time? 4 p.m. or 4:30 or so. Eh? Then they will start first of all with some music. Eh? Finally. Eh? Then when they are going to close like this. Eh? Nigeria, we hail thee. Now, when they are going to close, it's not 12 midnight. Okay? 10 in those days, 10. I think it even started with 9, if I remember very well. Eh? Did it not start at 9? First of all, once they say that, they are new. When you steal, you refuse to sleep. Okay, it was 10. Okay, thank you. Thank you. NTA Ibadan. NTA Ibadan. WNTV. Come on, what are we talking? Give me five. So we're talking about. Come on. You're in the spirit. Now, even when you don't want to sleep. When is that? 10 p.m. You just get dun, 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 dun. Abi? Eh? Thank you. They will now finally bring that their colored line. If you still like sit there, you just shh. So whether you like it or not, you go. That's if NEPA even allowed you to watch reach that time. But today, what are these youth grappling with? Their phones. Everything is on their phone. They can watch video, watch television station. Watch whatever they like, 24 hours non-stop. DSTV is 24 hours non-stop. And DSTV has how many channels? Maybe about 300 channels. So what am I telling you? What the young people are dealing with today is not what you dealt with. So if you think the way you are going to get by is by yelling at them, hey, you! You won't get anywhere. Are you listening to me? And you will not know what's happening to them. They will just be hiding everything from you. a father is not to say, don't let me see any of your friend in this house. Ah, it's okay. Because if you don't let the friends come in, guess what? It is better for you to let the friends come. Then you will know the friends who are bad. And when the friends come, you know, act like, even if you're a quiet person, act like a yuppie mom or a yuppie dad. Hey, how you guys doing? What's up, guys? You know, and mix it there. That's where you will hear the ones who will use four-letter words. So you'll be able to call your son aside to say, eh, that's your friend, you know, is he saved? Huh? You'll be able to witness. Glory to God. Listen to me about the prodigal son's father. When they started the party, the older son was outside. Coming, he's still gone to work. Coming back home, he was hearing music. I'm hearing music. What's going on here? And his father said, your younger brother, he has come. And your father is throwing a party for him. Ah! He became angry. Say, I'm not going in. What did the father do again? He went after that one also. He went after that one. He didn't say, what's wrong with him? He went to him. He went to talk to him. You know, let me tell you, there are two ways you deal with children. Okay? First, you try the tough method. It's not working. You sit down and you beg. Hello? Hi. When you've caned. The cane, fine. Now the boy is just standing for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of you know there are some children like that? 7, 10, 20. I thank God for my father. One time I tried it though. I don't know what I did. I felt what I did was not so bad and he was beating me. So I said, I will not cry. My father said, you? And I was very young. Maybe I was like 7. But it was very tough. He beat me till I cried, daddy. And I still remember it. This one. In this house, we can't have two bosses. You are still the child. But the one thing he will always do, even after the beating, because even after the beating, I will not talk to him. We operated a democracy in my family. Democracy. You are free. You are free to vote. Hallelujah. You can vote anybody in, you can vote anybody out. So I will just decide at that time I'm not talking to him anymore. He will come and talk to you. He'll come and cajole you. Okay? He may not explain to you why he beat you, but he may send them to go and buy food for you from the best restaurants in town to make peace. It doesn't mean when you do something the next time, he won't beat you. Glory to God. So we said, love does what? Love gives. What's the second thing love does? Love forgives. Love forgives. And if you're going to be a great leader, you have to love, you have to forgive. And number three, let me also say this. You know, I said that leaders increase or decrease based on, you know, the love. Praise the Lord. That those who will extend their leadership are the ones who would walk with love. And those who would decrease or their leadership will be terminated would be when they lack love. How many of you remember the story of Shimei? Shimei in the Bible. Shimei was the man that was cursing David when David had to run away from Absalom. And was cursing him as he was going. Cursing him as he was going. But then things turned around and David was made the king again. Shimei was one of the first people to come and beg King David. Oh, I'm sorry and all that. And David swore to him that day that, okay, I will not kill you. But David knew there was something more powerful. He said, I will let this man be his own judge. So he called his son. He said, you remember Shimei? And you know what he did to me? He said, don't let his worry head. David was telling Solomon, his son, who was now king, don't let his worry head go down to the grave in peace. So Solomon called him. And the man came, because he knew what he had done. He knew he didn't deserve to live. Came, fell down before David. Ah, yes, you have called your servant. I am your servant. He said, no problem. You can live in this territory. The day you cross out of this territory for anything whatsoever, that very day, you are going to die. And he said, my Lord has spoken well. Oh, I will obey. He left. Okay, so what happened? Shimei had a servant. One day the servant did something and the servant ran. Shimei had forgotten that there was a territory, there was a line. So he was determined to get back that servant at all costs. So he saddled an ass and went chasing after the servant. His senses did not come back as he was crossing over that barrier. He crossed it, went and got the servant, dragged the servant back. As soon as he came back like this, the watchers ran to tell King Solomon, Shimei, he has gone out and he has come back. So the king invited him. Did I not warn you that you must not leave this particular town? So you see, you know you're actually a wicked person and you deserve to die. And he commanded that they should kill him, and they killed him. Now let me ask you a question. Who killed Shimei? Thank you. Oh, fantastic. He was not Solomon. He killed himself. And how did he kill himself? Unforgiveness. See, the same unforgiveness that he demonstrated towards his leader is the same unforgiveness. Because you know that was it. If he had forgiven David for whatever he thought David did, that he took the kingdom from Saul. If he had forgiven David, he would not have been cursing David that day. But you see, that same unforgiveness that he had towards his leader, he had it towards the servant. And you know what? It was not the unforgiveness he had towards the leader that destroyed him. It was the unforgiveness downwards. As a leader, there are a lot of things you must learn to overlook. Mistakes you must overlook. Wrongs, when you know people have wronged you deliberately, you must overlook it. If you know where you are going is further than where their own bus stop is. It's only if you are going to park at the same bus stop that you can begin, you know, to talk with them and relate with them like you are on the same level. So many of you say, you know what? I'm too much for this. This is too beneath my level. Go. Hello? Go. I forgive you. Tap your neighbor, tell anybody I forgive you. Say, for taking that thing away from me, I forgive you. I forgive you. I let you go. Say, for taking that contract for $7 million, I forgive you. Tell them. I say it now by face. No, say the full one. Say, for taking away that $7 million contract, I forgive you. Say, take the $7 million contract and go. Say, I forgive you. Go. Go. Hallelujah. How many of you mean it from your heart? Yeah? Say it again. Say, that $7 million contract that you took away from me, I forgive you. Go. However, note the person you have spoken to. Write down their number, their phone number, so that when that thing comes to pass, hello, you can just give them a gentle call. Just say, you remember that prophecy about the $7 million? You know, I let you take the contract, you know. I let you take it. I'm just greeting you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Number three, love serves. Love serves. Love gives, love forgives, and love does what? Love serves. Okay? Now, we tend to look at leadership, especially those of us who are leaders in Africa, we tend to look at leadership like us being leaders means that we must dominate people. Isn't that it? That's the way a lot of us look at leadership. But Jesus Christ said that we must serve. He said, look, for the Gentiles, those who exercise lordship over them, right? They rule over them with rigor. He said, but it's not going to be so amongst you. The one who considers himself the elder should do what? Should serve the younger. Should serve the younger. It's all about service. Galatians 5:13 says, by love we should serve one another. If you're a leader serving the people, your leadership would last. If you're a leader who cannot serve the people, your leadership will be truncated. You must understand that you're actually a leader because you have people to serve. There is no king without people. I'll say it again. There is what? There's no king without people. You are only a king if there are people who are willing to stay under your kingdom, your rule, and your domain. If all of them decide to go, there's nothing you can do. The story of Rehoboam, the one who took over after King Solomon. Remember that story? Okay. After he became king, Jeroboam led them, and they had formed a revolt. And they came to meet him. He said, your father made our yoke very grievous. Lighten the yoke of your father. And he said to them, go away. Come back after a few days. I think maybe he said 7 days or so. I'll give you a feedback. Then he went to meet the elders. The elders gave him an advice that is so powerful. You know what they said to him? He said, if you will serve these people today, if you will speak kindly to them, he said, they will serve you forever. For the rest of their lives, they're going to serve. If you just serve them when? Just today. They've come like on an attack. Don't give them that attack. Speak kindly to them. Oh, you know what? How would you like to serve? You know, what kind of laws do you want? Write the laws, I will sign it into effect. If he had done that, things would have gone. But what did he do? He went to his friends. He went to his friends. And let me warn young people. There's some counsel that your mates cannot give you. They don't have enough experience to give you that counsel. Are you listening to me? They've not worked with God for long enough to know. There are certain things that elders can read. They say, what an elder sees sitting down, a young person cannot see climbing on top of an Iroko tree. It's an Igbo proverb. It's not in the Bible, but I think it lines up with the Bible. Hello? So sometimes you have to listen to the elderly ones. Now, I know when it comes to technology, I mean, some of you are just super. You know, the other day I was trying to crop an image on my iPad. And I really couldn't figure it out. And then there's this, you know, one of these, my young sons, who is just 16, who came to do vac job in Agate School, okay? And I'm saying, you know what, how do I do it? They just say, oh, you know, you press the, you know, button and the off key. You press it at the same time, you know, and then he's going to reduce the image. You know, he just did it for me. Bam, like that, it just took like 5 seconds. And I tried it and it worked. Yeah? I could have been there struggling. You know, we need that technological knowledge from you. That's fantastic. But you know, when it comes to wisdom, you need to come to us. And don't take it lightly. So, Rehoboam went to his friends and said, how do you think we should answer? He said, tell them, my little finger shall be what? Thicker than my father's loins. He said, my father whipped you. With what did he whip you? I will whip you with scorpions. You don't know anything. You don't know Meme. I will show you that I'm a leader. I run things here. I'm the one in charge here. Remember the other day I went to the American embassy and they were trying to get us to come on a particular line. This is outside. This is not inside. This is outside. And you know, I said, that woman come forward and all that. And I said, no, it's not you. I'm talking to that other woman. I said, we are the ones in charge here. I said, yes, ma. It was my own. Did I come? I didn't come to see her. What did I come to collect? So I stepped on that line, you know. And then the lady I went to was now, you know, was joking that, oh, this lady saying I'm old. What do I think? She young. I said, in fact, you're super young. You're a super babe. You know, I started laughing. Then that other one to join him. I smiled at her. It's not my problem. Now listen to this. I had to go back because there was something about the numbers that were not correct. So I couldn't do my interview that day. So I had to go back. When I got into the embassy, who did I meet? That same lady. Okay. And now she was the one arranging. Of course, my papers, everything was okay. There was no issue. But she was the one now arranging people. If I had been nasty to her that day, she could have noted that, oh, this woman is back again, Abby. I will show her today. But what's my own? You are working. You are earning your salary. It's okay. Me, I have my business that I'm going to do. So, you know, she said hello back and all that and put me on the line. Bang, bang, bang. I spent my 5 minutes, got my visa, left the embassy. I may never meet her again. But I could have gone there acting like, do you know who I am? Co-senior pastor of Grace Family International Churches with branches in different parts of the world. How dare you tell me to get on a line? I will just be marking time. Abby, does my authority extend to her own? It's a different jurisdiction. And I'm sure she won't remember that she wasn't so nice to me initially. All she will remember is that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the way I now spoke to the two of them and all that, she will just feel, oh, this is such a lovely woman. That's all she will remember. So, what went wrong with King Rehoboam? He refused to serve. As a leader, you serve people. It's not every time that I say, is it that my way or the highway? Sometimes they bring an idea. Even if you're not so sure the idea will work, allow people. Say, okay, it's okay. Is that your idea? It's fantastic. Let's do it your way. Let's see how it goes. Okay? In marriage, as a husband, you have to serve. Amen? And I mean you actually have to serve. I mean you actually have to. I'm talking about real service now. Serve. Serve us the food sometimes. Husbands. Serve us the food sometimes. In fact, go a step further. Don't start from the serving. Cook the food. Go to the market. Thank God for ShopRite. You don't even have to go to market. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can go to those polished markets where you just pick things up the shelves, hallelujah. And when you get there, you just use your card to pay. You don't even need to bargain. You know, we all understand you're too cool for, you know, that market. So, then make the meal. Make the meal for us. Put it on a tray, well arranged and garnished. And carry it into the bedroom for your queen. And we assure you, we will show you that we are Queen Esther and not Queen Vashti. Amen. Somebody give a shout! All right, let me round this up now. As a leader, make sure you sow before you expect a harvest. I see people sometimes who want to discipline people. You cannot discipline someone you have not discipled. I'll say it again. You cannot discipline someone you have not discipled. Invest in the person first before you decide, okay, now I need to discipline the person. And even when you want to discipline people, let love lead you. I'll share this with you. I think God brought it back to my heart because I think it will help someone. In our church, I think if people want to describe me, they know I love them. Abby, and you guys, but they will also tell you one thing, that I can be what? Tough. No nonsense. You can't be messing with sin and think I'm going to tolerate it. We have to work on it together until you get out of that sin. Now, they know me as the kind of person that, you are doing something wrong. I just tell you, you don't do this. Why would you do that? You cannot do this. This will not be allowed. One day we had one of our leaders who got up on stage and said, in this church, next to God, the person we fear the most is Pastor Diola. You know, initially I was happy, but later I changed my mind. I said, no, I don't want them to fear me. I want to say, in this church, the person we love the most, next to God. Amen. You are not getting me. Of course, some of them fear me, but they love me. Abby? Okay, so let me tell you this story. So this lady comes to me. She's a wife. She's married. And she said to me, Pastor, there's a lady in this church who is also a worker who I think is going after my husband. I said, what? I said, yes, Pastor. She said, she's always bringing food for my husband. I said, how? She said, sometimes my husband goes to our house to eat. You see, the normal me, a fire will be coming now. Where is she in this church? We do not permit sin, but we also do not permit the appearance of sin. Call her here. Let us let her know that daughters of Jezebel will not be permitted in this place. You see, I could have taken that stance. But I didn't. So I said, okay, no problem. Don't worry about it. We're going to fix it. So I prayed with her and I let her go. So I sent for the sister who was single. No, sincerely lovely lady. Lovely, diligent with her work. Lovely. So she came to see me. So of course I asked about general things. So how are you? How is work? You know, so how are you doing? So how far with this brother issue? Well, there's nobody. Even though, well, there was someone, but the guy is always complaining about my work and all that. I said, he's born again. He doesn't attend to his own. Which church does he go to? Told me another. I said, okay, you know what? If it is God, God is going to work the whole thing out. And I said, by the way, I think there's a particular brother that it looks as if maybe from time to time you and the person talk. She's thinking. I said, in this church, thinking, really, bro? I said, in fact, the brother is married. Immediately her face changed. And I mentioned the name of the brother. I said, I understand that you sometimes cook for him. He said, Pastor, I didn't even know it had gotten to this extent. That she has come to report you report me to you. He said, it's not like that. He said, in our department, sometimes they are there late, and that people will sometimes come to our house. Because like I told you, she's a very lovely lady. He said, people will sometimes come to our house, and she cooks for all of them. He said, sometimes when she brings food, and she has extra, that some of the people in her department will eat out of the food, and then that these brothers will say, ah, this food is so nice, bring some more. So I said to her, okay. So it was the department, Abby. It was not him. I said, but have you ever given his wife food? She said, no, we are not friends. I said, you cannot be friends with the husband if you are not friends with the wife. She said, eh. I said, that's how it is. I said, you know the way we're always teaching you in this church. Brother to brother, sister to sister. You know, we tell you, if you are sick as a lady, and you say it's only Pastor Oyinka that can lay hands on the place, before it can be hit, the sickness will kill you. Pure and simple. And you know, she was very apologetic. That really, she didn't think about it like that and all that. She didn't process it. She's really sorry. And I prayed with her. I said, you know what? God will give you your own. You know, don't let anybody be thinking you are a homebreaker and all that. And I prayed with her. You know, she changed completely. In less than a year, she was married. Lead with love. Lead with love. Tap your neighbor and tell your neighbor, lead with love. And you lead for long. When it comes to leading with love, God is our ultimate example of leadership. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, the Bible says we should be followers of God as dear children, and we should also walk in love, even as God has loved us and given, where are we? Yes, 1 and 2. Okay, he said we should be followers of God as their children. Go to verse 2. Go to verse 2, please. Okay, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savour. In the marketplace, God is our example. The Bible says God made the heavens and the earth. He created the whole universe. God created this perfect and magnificent place, and yet God gave everything to our dominion, that we should rule and we should reign. Think about this. God's job was so perfect that up till now, the universe has not needed fixing. The sun is still shining, isn't it? The moon still comes out at night because God did a perfect job. When you are like God, your business, you will work and labor and make sure that you put things in place for others, generations coming after you, to still enjoy your labor. You will build an enduring business that will last for children, grandchildren, that will last, hello, for another generation to still enjoy. You know, sometimes when I come onto the island and I look at some of these places where there was water before and we're taking over and we're just building land in here. You know, sometimes I don't like it. Because I feel that, how many of you remember, for those of you who are around my age, how many of you remember the bad beach of those days? The stretch and expanse of sand. You could run for like a mile, isn't it? Before you even see water. But nowadays you see that, you know, it's like there's the half and there's water. You can't even really see the water anymore. And I'm asking, we're building. I love so many things that is going on. But I think we should always remember, we must leave a legacy for the generation that is coming after us. The things that we have enjoyed. So no problem, we can create a co-Atlantic city, but can we also make sure we have recreated a beach that is as wide or wider than what we had before? So that when we are talking, our children and our grandchildren will also be able to understand what we are talking about when we are talking about a vast expanse of seashore. Not that we're talking about it and I just say, hey, really? You said there used to be sand here. Where? Houses all over the place. Build with the next generation in mind. Give a better legacy to this generation coming after us. As a minister of the gospel, the Bible calls the church God's own. Okay? It says, Acts 20:20 says, we should feed the church of God that he has purchased with his own blood. Okay? Now, when you look at God's love over the church, think of the church in the wilderness and think of the church today. The church is very imperfect. There are lots of crazy things going on in the church. How many of you know if you were God, you would have killed all of us? Tikpe, you say you. Do you know how many times you've confessed the same sin? You will come again. And then the one you are crying now, you are even begging me, I will not do it again. You know you still do it by next week. I won't give you the chance. Enough. How many of you understand what I'm saying? But God still loves us. He will still forgive us. Eh? He will still strengthen us. When we're still in danger, we run to him and say, God, deliver me from this trouble. He will still deliver us from that trouble. So what am I talking about? As a minister of the gospel, you got to be very long-suffering. You got to be kind. Never give up on people. Be patient. I found out that people are very different. And you got to understand people's temperament so that you can do a good job. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 3, Peter admonished us that he himself also being an elder, he said we should not be as lords over God's heritage. Don't be these big shots just commanding people everywhere, you know? He said we should be what? Examples to the flock. Let me say this to us who are ministers of the gospel and to those of you who will still join us and be ministers of the gospel. Amen? Amen? Amen. The church does not belong to you. It will never belong to you. Even if you name it the church after you. What's your name? Eh? Debbie. Even if you call it Debbie International Christian Center, it is still not yours. It is still what? It is not. The church will never be yours. Let's always live our lives as ministers of gospel with understanding. You know why the church is not yours? Because the human beings are not yours. You did not create a human being. Even if we give you sons, you cannot create a human being. Come on now. It's not yours. It's not yours. Praise the Lord. So do everything with the understanding that this thing does not belong to me. It belongs to God. And let me also tell some of you who are always saying, I'm also called. I'm going to start my own ministry. Look, there's nothing like your own ministry. You don't have a ministry. It is the Lord's ministry. Amen. Work where God has given you opportunity. The Bible says whatever your hand finds you to do, what? Do it with all your might. Labor. We're having too many fragments, because we don't want to help the people that are already there. But through Christianity, we want to help and labor with the people who are already there. When we all succeed, we succeed together. Praise the Lord. We succeed together. Reverend Mrs. I always succeed. You succeed with her. Are you listening to me? We succeed together. And I don't think we should always get carried away with this. I shall want something after myself. I shall want something after I don't know. I am Reverend, Doctor, Apostle, Prophet. Give me more. Bishop. Ah, thank you. Archbishop. In fact, Pope. Plus. Plus. I never hear that one. I hear that. Okay. I'll go. Plus. Archbishop plus. Really? There's now Archbishop plus. So don't be thinking I'm just Archbishop. Everyone say Archbishop plus. You. What? How many of you know the thing will not even fit some of you? So don't bother. I know it will not fit me. So don't bother. I don't need the title of bishop. What for? The one that is even a pastor. I don't even understand some people. It's a great honor. Let me tell you the greatest title people can call you. Do you want to know what it is? Sister or brother. If they can call you sister in Christ or brother in Christ, they have given you the greatest honor. Because if they say, I cannot even call her a sister, you are in trouble. I can't even call him a brother. This one, brother. I can't call him. Then you are in trouble. It doesn't matter the other titles. You say that first one. I'm a sister in Christ. Is enough. Somebody say sister in Christ. Yes, sister. Give me. Sister. In Christ. Sister in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Finally, in marriage, lead with love. Lead with love. I remember when I had first gotten married and I went to visit my grandmother. For those of you who speak Yoruba, I'm going to say what she said in Yoruba and somebody will interpret for us. She said, I didn't know. She gave me all the titles and all that. She said, I said, Rarama. She said, Dada. So that she will know whether to fight, Abby, in her own way. Eh? Or know whatever to do, how to intercede on my behalf. Okay, so who wants to interpret that for us? Jiggy, jiggy. Eh? Say that. Conflict. Is that what you... yes, yes, good one. That, I hope your husband is not treating you roughly. Jiggy, jiggy, rough, rough. Eh? Rougher, rougher. Eh? I hope he's not treating you badly. I hope he's not mean to you. Because their generation went through a lot. They went through a lot. Okay? Some of those men were mean and very wicked. Very, very wicked. You see some of those women sick like this. Don't take them. You see me commanding them. One, do this. One, do that. I mean, you've gone to work. She has been at home with like 6 children. And you know, in those days, no family planning. This was the motto at that time of born till you drop. That's it. Then before you even drop, go, papa, he has already, Abby, married, second, third, etc., etc. And then they will make them train their children. So each woman, you train your own child. Don't train your child. It's your business. Fathers, let me speak to you. Let me talk to you. Let me warn you. Okay? Even the young men who are not married, listen very carefully. Children, always remember those who love them and those who train them. Two things. When they leave the house and they are now well settled, they would repay back. They will give back recompense. Whatever it is you did. There are some men who, when they get home like this, you just hear scrambling, scattering, all the children, bam, they've all run back to the room. The ones who will go under the bed have gone under the bed. The ones who will go into the cupboard and close the cupboard. The ones who will lock themselves inside the toilet. If there's more than one toilet, is there. Say, Daddy has come. Daddy has come. And you too. You're like a tyrant. Yeah, the children. Who put this here? Who put that there? Oh, come and clean up this place. You are not a father when you are like that. You are not a father. All you want your children to remember is that when daddy is coming like this, run! That's all you want them to remember. When they have money and they still see you, run. And as they are running, their money too will run away from you. Haven't you found out? They say most people, it's their mothers they take care of. It's because of that. Listen carefully to me. Sometimes, even if you cannot cook, be in the kitchen with your wife, especially when the children are still little. Eh? Be there with her when it's time to serve. See, tell your wife, no, honey, I am the one that will serve these children today. They know there was something ladies used to do there. I don't know if they still do it now. A child will do something wrong. Say, you, Johnny, you have spoiled this thing again. Wait until your daddy comes. Then as soon as you are coming, she already meets you. Come and see what Johnny broke. You too, you come. But Johnny, you broke this thing. Oh yeah, come here. He pulls out the bell and starts beating and beating. The only thing your children remember about you is beating and beating and beating. They say, mommy is very nice. It's only when daddy comes back that there's trouble in this house. Next time, your wife goes, say, hey, honey, if you see what Johnny broke, did you, honey, my darling, did you see what Johnny broke? He said, yes, I saw it. And you were there, and I wasn't at home. So what did you do? I said, wait until your daddy comes. Hey, is that what you did? No problem. So he enters and says, oh, Johnny, come. Let me give me a hug and all that and all that. Okay. God bless you. I love you. I love you. Yeah? Just remember, I'm the one. I really love you. In this house. I love you. Hello?
Hi.
Don't let anybody turn you into slave master. That's not who you are. You are father. You are father. If she cannot discipline those children by herself, she shouldn't be. It's a different thing if you're at home and it happens. But the one you are not at home. Now we're waiting for you to come. And then once you come, you're the one now disciplining. And sometimes it's the other way around. It's the mother. It's the mother that is known as mommy. Hey, mommy will kill you. Mommy will kill you. I don't care how tough you are with your children. It's not about your toughness. It's about your love and your fairness. Nobody is saying don't discipline. But you know what? Use the left hand, right hand principle. When you have disciplined them with the left, do what with your right hand? Draw them again. Sit down with them. Talk to them. I see some parents, sometimes some leaders who cannot sit down with the people and joke with them. Hey, what kind of leader are you? You have to understand these people are human beings. Human beings will remember love much longer than they will remember threats. Okay? Show them love. Show them compassion. Relate with them. One final thing. As a parent, maybe you are the dad, you pay the school fees, but, you know, mommy is the one that buys things for the children. Even though you give mommy money, but she's the one that buys all the things for the children. Make sure you also take time to buy things for those children. One day I was talking to some little children. I was talking to them, and I don't know where the conversation was going. And I think maybe they saw their dad coming, yes. I think maybe they saw their dad coming, and I saw they were not excited. I was like, aren't you happy? You know, daddy is back home and all that. I said, no. I said, why are you not happy? That you're like, because when daddy comes, he does not bring back anything. But when mommy comes, mommy will come back with cake, mommy will come back with meat pie, mommy will come back with sausage. So we're always very happy when mommy comes back home. So as a dad, please, pass through tasty fried chicken. Pass through, talk to me, mega chicken. Pass through Dominion. Huh? Pizza. Pass through KFC. Pass through Cornstone. Load them with goodies and take it back home. If your children know you as that, they will always remember you as this loving father. They will be waiting for you to get back because you've demonstrated leadership through love. Whether you are in the ministry or in the marketplace, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To your marriage, make sure that the key thing, the key attribute that you always describe by is that you are a loving person. Let's bow our heads and let's talk to the Lord. Let's commit ourselves to being excellent leaders, leading with love. Leading with love. In every area where we lead, not to be tyrants, not to be the aggressors, but that we will choose love. Let's commit ourselves to raise a new generation with love, with fairness. With fairness. Now I want to pray for one or two people this morning. If you have a desire in your heart to start a business, you have a desire in your heart to start a business, and you're trusting God for everything to line together, the people resources you need, the financial resources you need, okay, even the ideas that you need to make that business a thriving business. If you're like that, I want you to lift up your hand. I want you to lift up your hand. Thank you, Father, for these precious people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can you please rise up to your feet? Rise up to your feet. And I want you to be very specific about what you want God to do between now and a year's time. Be very specific. What you want God to do between now and 1 year's time concerning this business. This is March 2018. By March 2019, this is what I expect God to do. Let's talk to him. Let's talk to him. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for everyone standing. You are the one who has given them a vision, a desire to start a business. And I pray that this business will be a business that will thrive and grow and increase in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for them that they will employ hundreds of people in the organization in the name of Jesus. I pray that people will know them as a restorer of hope in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that the ideas they need, the finances they need, the people, resources, and connections that they need, that you will grant it to them in the name of Jesus. I pray that they will hear you clearly and they will follow your leading in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, wherever you are, if you have a need, I want you to lift up your hands to the Lord. You have a need in any area, that is in the area of relationship, the area of the family, whatever it is, you know, it's in business, but you have a need and you're trusting God. God, I want you to meet this need. Let's talk to him. What do you want God to do? He's more than able, more than faithful to do it. All God is looking for is people who are faithful. If you are faithful, he will show you his faithfulness because he cannot fail. He cannot fail. He is God who always keeps his promises. He is the miracle working God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone who has a need. Lifting up their hands, I ask, Lord, that you will meet their needs in the name of Jesus.
I pray, Lord, that you will do it even beyond the expectation in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will send to them your people who act as angels in the name of Jesus, who will deliver that good message that they're expecting in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for unusual financial resources to manifest now in the name of Jesus. I pray for people who are trusting you for life partners. Let it manifest now in the name of Jesus. I pray for people trusting you for jobs. Let the jobs manifest now in the name of Jesus. I pray for people who are praying about their own personal house. Maybe to start a building. Maybe to finish a building. I pray, Lord, that you will make this happen even within the year in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who are looking for admission into higher institution. I pray, Lord, that you will grant them that admission in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that every need is met. Your name is glorified. Your name is magnified. Blessed be your name forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Woo!